We're bonding.
Well, that's good. I think we're all bonding.
Yeah.
Because obviously I was able to recognize both voices at once. I don't even use one of those pitch identifiers.
A pitch identifier?
Yeah, on Stephanie's computer, after she takes the class, she looks at each voice pattern and it identifies the range.
Oh.
And she can recognize, not by listening, but looking at the graph of it, who's speaking.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan, Dan's here.
Hello, Dan. Yes, your voice graphs differently. Certainly not the same as Helen and Jennifer's.
It's the testosterone.
I have some helium balloons here. I could change that.
Oh. You would like to squeak to us?
Want to be a soprano?
Yep, I could.
And Magnus, are you there?
Here.
Oh, good for you. Yes, yes. I have some questions about your reading. I'm sure you do, too. Or maybe you know it all. Maybe I should have you interpret it.
Oh.
Well, at least last year, I mean... Randy, are you with us? Not as yet. Okay, I'm going to light my candle. Helen, I got your message. We just got back from Boulder.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't that I couldn't respond because I didn't get it till we got back.
I see. No, it's so funny with the phone because I could hear Stephanie saying hello.
Really?
Or some female voice, yeah, going hello, and I'm going hello, and I could hear her, but I guess she couldn't hear me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I called twice.
You didn't call last night, did you?
Yeah.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, well, I guess she didn't hear you, because we were home last night. We had to go through all kinds of snowstorms to get here.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
So are you all ready to charge?
Girl,
yes.
Ready.
Child of wonder.
Child
of flame.
Nourish your spirit.
And protect our aim. So, Helen, what was in seeing like for you?
It was interesting because there was a literal aspect to it when I first saw it. That had me kind of perceiving it as coming from my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I ended up paying attention to or being drawn to was the seeing with my body.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ways in which I absorb information or see things not involving my eyes.
Did that have a different quality of giving, perceptic to it?
Yes. It makes me feel more whole and complete, and it also is less brain-oriented.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's obviously then more of a spirit perceptic, perhaps, than a body sense.
Perhaps. I guess it just felt more kinesthetic, but how can I put it? It's it feels more like a knowing when I see, when all of me is involved in what I see.
Yeah.
Than when it's just a vision thing.
Right. In basic shamanism, we study our different body functions and spirit functions and mind functions. And of course we know that body has five senses and we're very accustomed to those. And we know that mind has various data organizing functions and levels of its work. But what we don't tend to know a whole lot about from our direct experience or education is what are our spirit abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually begin to study those in terms of just like what you were just mentioning. In fact, we generally refer to spirit seeing as visioning.
Uh-huh.
To distinguish it from the seeing of the eyes.
Yeah.
Because when you travel out of body, unless you're doing it simply by a projection, first of all, you don't see with your eyes, of course. And you actually see in 360 degrees.
Yeah.
Or spherically.
Yes.
Right.
That sounds great.
Right. And so, but you see, if we try to translate that back into anything the body understands, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we don't perceive, from the body's point of view, we do not perceive in 360 degrees.
No.
Other than perhaps touch. And then we generally sort of depend on some kind of actual incoming sensation or something that produces a sensation.
Uh-huh.
And so forth. But you see, that's part of the reason that when we say we do magic in present time and not in memory, because you see, all of this comes into focus in our experiences. How do we actually have an experience? Do we have it through the body senses? Do we have it through the mind? Do we have it through the spirit abilities? All three? How does it work? So you're beginning to sort of touch on that question, so to speak.
Yeah. I guess so. And the other thing I was aware of is that I can be pretty blind without my glasses,
mm-hmm.
and I hate wearing glasses. So I've kind of just adapted to things being sort of impressionistic looking.
Okay.
You know, but I realized when I was seeing in this other way, when I allow that to happen or to put my awareness there, there's kind of a relaxation because it's like I get my information. I don't have to rely on eyes that aren't 20/20. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
And yeah, so it's actually quite like there was something to surrender to that felt very nourishing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I had an experience in that sort of fashion when I was living in Boston some years ago, and I was caught in one of those torrential downpours in a car driving on the highway, and my windshield wipers wouldn't work. And of course, you know, it's like total flood on the windshield.
Yes.
And you can't see anything, so to speak. So I had to resign myself to stop looking with my eyes and perceiving with my spirit senses.
Uh-huh.
And once I relaxed enough, I found that I could do it. But every time I felt uptight or the urge to try to see with my eyes, totally impossible.
Yeah.
And another thing that might interest you is that Stephanie has been working on her eyesight for several years by the Bates method, and she has backed her ability to see up from something like minus 400 to minus 600 to about minus 100, 200.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So in another year or so, she won't even need to wear glasses.
Yeah, is that the eye muscle?
Well, it's a number of things, but it's the general Bates method of backing up your prescriptions, weakening them.
I guess I don't know it.
Yeah, well, you could talk to her about it.
Okay.
It's been highly successful for her.
That's fantastic.
Dan, how about you in seeing?
Well, I had some interesting things to go on. One thing that was happened was I would start out facing east, of course, and start out with the seeing verse, and I would turn south and seeing universe, and somewhere between the end of the west and the north, my seeing would turn out to be strength. And I was not conscious of myself making that change. And I did that several times, and I don't know what was up with that. I have no clue. But I did...
Have you ever been a Pythonist in another lifetime?
Who?
A Pythonist. An Oracle, a Delphi, or any of those guys?
I have no clue.
Okay, go ahead.
But when I... The sense that I got from it was not an external seeing, but an internal seeing. And I felt very present, and I felt a certain knowing or wisdom or some such semblance of a feeling.
Well, that's similar to Helen, then, that you were gathering, starting to gather without just the simple use of the eyes, it sounds like. How did that feel to you?
Very grounding, I guess, is a word that comes to mind.
Sure.
Very stable.
Sure. Have you ever attempted to walk blindfolded?
Yes.
How'd you do?
I've done fine with that. I've put myself, not recently, but have put myself through some obstacle-type things just to test my, inner senses.
Right, right. Cool. You'll enjoy out-of-body travel, too. Jennifer?
I guess I could sense something beyond me. And then I, in the greetings and stuff, I'd get lost and I'd have to start over again.
That sometimes happens.
That's what I noticed.
Something that you were seeing distract you?
No. No, there was nothing I was aware of. Just, it was a pleasant sensation and I just kind of... It was in the first part when I, the winds of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd kind of get lost there. And then I'd have to, after a while, I'd come back and kind of start again.
Sure. And as you say, when you experienced that, it was kind of pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you probably also were seeing with other than your eyes, you know, and it sort of dazzled you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I suppose.
It can. One of the chief dilemmas we find when we start traveling out of body is that our mind won't accept that we've done it. And people come back and have all these extraordinary experiences to report, and then, of course, after they report them, and say, and I imagined all that.
Yeah, because...
You know, because, I mean, that's what mind will not accept, that we can do these things. For a while. It takes a while. So, Magnus, how was in seeing for you?
It was great this week. I had more insight on a lot of things. Had more knowledge of things going on around me. I think it was a great week.
So, where did you notice that your seeing centered? What part of you?
In my heart, I believe.
Okay, cool. And Randy, are you with us?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. So what was in seeing like for you?
Well, it was very similar to Helen and Dan's experience. In fact, Dan practically took the words right out of my mouth.
How clever of him. How clever of him.
Yeah, I felt very grounded. It felt like it came from somewhere inside. And
So, how did that feel to you?
Well, it felt, it felt, like I said, it felt grounding, and it felt like, like I was seeing, but I didn't know what I was seeing, because it wasn't here. It wasn't amongst, with my senses.
Okay. So, when you say habitually or normally say you see something, would you say that that filters a lot through your mind's analysis of something?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you talking about with my senses?
Not necessarily. I'm not saying when somebody asks, do you see the rainbow? And you say, yeah, I see the rainbow.
Yeah. Say I see something in one of my clients.
Okay.
You know, that they might not be aware of. You know, that's filtered through my mind.
Okay. Have you also, say, this week, had the experience of seeing something in a client, something they told you or something they were presenting, that did not come through your mind?
Well, in that case...
And I don't mean with your eyes either.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I mean, what I do see that is not filtered is that, you know, we're the same. That's about all I can really say I see that is not filtered through my mind.
Okay.
And that, you know, we're both the same, and that we're, you know, have the same struggles and emotions and feelings and that sort of thing. Just we're going at it differently.
Okay. That's a good start. So what makes the difference? What makes us go at it differently?
Well, part of it is, you know, our programming, our ways of responding to situations, you know, our thought patterns that are basically, a lot of it is, you know, like I said, programming.
Okay. And you're right. So, in other words, what you're calling programming is how I have overlaid my beliefs on my experiences.
Yes.
In the past.
Exactly.
Right. And so, and of course, inherent in that is also my values and the significances that I apply to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to the degree that those are distorted or misinterpreted, then we get different reactions to events.
Yes, and those reactions, I think, create more events to sort of confirm our beliefs.
Good for you.
You know, that are...
Good for you. Right, right. So in other words, we actually convince ourselves from the data that we have gathered in mind, using the force of our opinions and beliefs and value systems, we convince ourselves that we are justified.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that is how we do life, I would say we got a huge problem going on here. And I would say that you are very accurate in your interpretation of it or presentation of it.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. But you are you fully aware of the implications of that?
Well, the implications are, well, they're huge.
They're beyond huge.
Yeah.
And it ends up that everybody lives in their own separate paradigm.
Yeah, I would see that. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we relate to one another and we say we have relationships and we say we understand one another and so forth, and it all becomes quite madly absurd.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, and what we do in these courses, you know, starting out in basic magic, is we try to create a uniform ground that by our experience we can all accept and verify. We have to verify it, each one of us, because we're all working with a different set of criteria.
Mm.
And then once we're able to come to some kind of verified foundation that we kind of refer to as actuality or whatever, then we start studying the principles that seems to be demonstrated there and see if we can use them to create effects in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do that, we start to develop a system of trust in that we begin to say, well, if I apply these principles as such, then I produce predictable results. And everyone else does the same. So that's why we come together and share all this stuff, to see, did we produce predictable results? And you probably all have noticed over a period of time how much more similar your experiences, say, in the beauty way are, in the novel rituals, in the exit ritual, and the day greetings and day endings. You'll often say, well, yeah, my experience was very similar, because you're actually beginning to work from a cohesive foundation that is recognizable to you all individually and collectively. And then what being a shaman is to develop a world system or a world order from that becomes collectively agreeable and useful, but generally stands outside of what normal people refer to as reality systems.
Are you talking at all about the collective unconscious, or is that different?
Well, it's not different, say, but what is the collective unconscious, Helen?
Well, my understanding of it from Jung, which I haven't read in a while, though, is that it's
kind of a universal way of seeing and responding to certain principles. You know, the king, the queen, the princess.
It's all those archetypes, right?
Right.
Right. And we would call those symbols.
Okay.
So this is really important. I'm really glad you brought that up, because if you don't understand that, then what you're left with is that Jung, because so many people think Jung was, that he developed a fantastic system. And I'm not saying that he didn't, but he misinterpreted his own system. Those are not archetypes. We're going to study archetypes, and you'll see how different they are. But what those are symbols. Just like the tarot cards are symbols. They're the same, virtually the same.
Uh-huh. And archetypes and symbols aren't the same thing?
No. Uh-uh. Symbols access something. It's like a key in a lock, okay?
Uh-huh.
You put the symbol in the lock and turn it, and you've got the thing right there in your lap. Archetypes are programs.
Oh, okay.
Programs that are created collectively in many cases. I mean, there are many kinds of archetypes. We have our personal archetypes.
Right.
We have what we call group cultural archetypes.
Right.
We have what we call historic archetypes, ancient and historic archetypes. We have species archetypes. In fact, when a species disappears from the planet, is it gone?
I don't think so.
No, it's not. Because if you can access the archetype, which generally lasts hundreds of thousands of years after the species is gone, and you know how magically you can rebuild a species.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So archetypes are energetic programs, just like on a computer disk.
Okay. I can see the difference.
Sure. So the collective conscience. Okay, this is pretty advanced stuff, but I'll ask you this question, and maybe it'll help you to understand where we're going with this. Where is mind?
I guess I imagine it to be everywhere, inside and outside of us, not brain, but...
Yeah, there's no connection to brain.
Right. Outside and inside.
Well, is it possible that it's the whole universe?
Yeah, that's what I mean by outside and inside. It's
right.
Sort of everything.
Right. So Deepak Chopra says in Quantum Healing that space is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, and Walter Russell says that in The Secret of Life. So, therefore, mind, if you want to call it the collective unconscious, I don't know that I would call it that. I would call it the collective consciousness.
Okay.
It's the entire universe.
Uh-huh.
And then we differentiate from that through holographics.
Okay.
And so what that does is it gives us the perception of local reality.
Right.
And so to be effective, we take on bodies and we do it temporarily. But that's just a system. That's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's not actuality.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a system.
Yeah.
It's convenient because we can sort of grok it or comprehend it. We can use it. And then the problem comes in that everybody decides that is what reality is.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And then we begin narrowing and narrowing and narrowing our understanding of the universe. To where we end up with systems nowadays, it's just all good and evil, God and the devil.
Mm.
And it breaks down, it doesn't work.
Yeah. I wish George Bush was taking this class.
Well, give us all time. You just never know. But what's important is that we're doing it. We're doing it for George Bush. We can't expect George Bush or those kind of people with their limited understanding to see the kind of picture that we can see. However, you know, one of the things Aleister Crowley said, he said is that if you study his book, Magic in Theory and Practice, and you read the introduction, he said that anyone who works with intention has the entire power of the universe working with them. And that produces a force in the universe that is not to be reckoned with. And I feel he was correct. I feel that a very small group of people can correct a great deal of error.
Yeah.
If we choose to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I put this school together, really, because I was interested in that. I started being interested in that at age 6. I thought that a lot of things that were happening on this planet were fairly absurd.
And you were right.
Well, that was my perception.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you all did really well with this. And we're going on next week. Well, of course, we skip next week, but you do it anyway. I mean, we have a holiday. Holy day. It's a holy day, you know. Turkeys parading around and such. In festive garb. And what we will do then for the next 2 weeks is walking in my vision. Now, this will be really fun for you guys, because you've already seen that there is something in the seeing that is beyond the eyesight. So, who has a reading that they would like to talk about that they did? Marilyn sent me one from the other class. It was really good. She did a great job. So no one did a reading? Dan, you haven't done a reading?
No, I didn't do a reading. I've spent my time this week going over those notes and trying to get a good handle on the meanings and our inferences, I guess, more than meanings.
Okay. Have you finished your deck?
Oh, yes.
Shuffled it?
Yes.
Good. And will you do at least a couple of readings this week?
That's my plan.
Good, good. And send them on so I can, if you want help with them.
Okay.
And sure, that's cool.
Were you going to do a reading for me on the?
Let's see. Did I do one?
No, you didn't.
Oh, I will.
If you did, you didn't post it.
No, I didn't do everybody because I was saving some for 12 cards.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, I didn't think I would get to everyone in Celtic Cross, so I did some, and we'll be going over some today. But no, you weren't going to be, no one was going to be left out, but I did save some of you guys for 12 cards.
Okay, that's fine because I pretty much know who I am, so.
Look. Ooh la la. Helen, have you done any readings?
No, kind of similar to Dan. I just kind of played with what the cards mean and was reviewing the printout.
Cool, cool. You're going to you'll find that we move, that the readings are not an end in themselves. We want to develop an ability with them or fluidity with them because we use them in spell work. And even though it doesn't stop in this course and we'll do the Tarot intensive afterwards, that the more comfortable you are with doing a reading, the easier it is when we get to spell work where you're doing readings on old, what we call directors and limiters and stuff like that to see just how well things will work. Jennifer, have you?
No.
Have you finished your deck?
No.
Where are you?
They need shuffled.
Oh, but you've done all the keying. Yeah, cool. So go ahead and shuffle and do some readings. And since you're so close and you don't use email anyway, you can just write them down and bring them over, okay?
Okay.
Magnus?
I have not. As a matter of fact, I stopped abruptly because I've not finished the king. I ran out of the things I need to finish. Doing that.
What do you mean?
I ran out of the general incense.
Oh, you know that of the what incense?
Yes. Well, I have the water.
You don't need that to key your cards.
I guess I'm talking of the smoking process. Maybe if it would be, you know, kind of was thinking it's keying. I remember I read it somewhere and you said it in the lecture that we smoke it.
Keep going. Explain more.
Yes. But,
smoke it and what?
I was thinking the smoking is the keying process.
No, the keying process is taking the card and putting it on your plate in order and asking questions until it windows. That's all it is.
Oh.
Has nothing to do with smoking it or anything.
If that was the case, I could have. But we have to smoke the cards.
No, you don't.
How did I get that?
I don't know. Did anybody else get that?
We had a used deck. You said we had to do that.
A used deck?
Yeah.
That somebody else owned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you had to clean them card, four element wise.
I guess I was doing something wrong. Because when I ran out of incense, I had to place an order and wait till it arrives.
Oh, okay. Well, then you don't have to wait. How far had you gotten?
About three quarters of the whole day. I guess I can do go back because I was trying to do that before doing the window pane.
I'm sorry? Before doing the window pane?
That is the window. Looking at the card until it windows.
Yeah, that's the key. That's all you need to do. You just start with the Two of Wands and put it on your plate and work with the card, ask questions of the card and so forth until it windows, take it off, it's done. Go on to the Three of Wands. Is that clear now?
It's clear.
Okay.
I guess I had what I had in mind. I was having it in mind still and doing it that way, maybe without really looking at a class note to make sure. So.
Well, that happens, but that's why it's good that we talked about it in class. Because you could have stalled yourself for a while and you don't need it. That's fine. Just go ahead and do it and get it done, and it's done. Then you can shuffle them and start doing readings. Okay?
Okay.
Cool. Randy?
No, I didn't do any readings this week.
Well, where are you with your key and such?
I still need to shuffle.
Okay, good. So you're close.
Yeah.
Okay. And then will you do at least a couple of readings this week?
Yes.
Good.
Now, if I can't get other people to participate, can I do them on myself?
No, do them on somebody else.
Okay.
Even if they don't participate.
All right.
Do we need to, I'm sorry, let me, do we, I have a question here. Do we need to ask for their permission before doing that?
No.
Okay.
You never have to ask permission to gather information. Your rules of the road allow us to gather information about anybody or anything as much as we want. That's sort of open universe.
So, Alan, how do we just pretend that the visualize the person?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Say you want to do a reading on your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know your boss's sun sign or birthday?
Hmm. No, I could find out, but if I could, okay, if I have their birth date, their sun sign, then
then you know what their signifier is.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, if they're
right
born in say
August and
yeah, then they probably have Argo.
Yeah.
Right. So, but you do it specifically, you know, I mean, in other words, from about the 21st of each month is when it changes, but that's not accurate. So, if you want to be accurate, you get their birth date or you ask them. Almost everybody these days knows what their sun sign is. But in the case where someone doesn't, you can get their birth date and go online to any astrological site and consult an ephemeride for the year that they were born and the day that they were born and see what sign the sun was in. That's one way.
What if someone's on a cusp?
Well, it's really hard to actually be on a cusp.
Okay.
I mean, if you sat down and did someone's chart, unless they were, you know, we're talking about the second, you know?
Okay.
A second or two, the sun is either in one sign or the other sign. However, I know that does happen. So then you look at the person. And given what you know, since the sun is how we express ourselves, say you're on the cusp, you have two different signs in mind on the cusp of what and what? Or are you just being hypothetical?
I have a friend who's cusp, but I can't remember
which
what
one
the cusps are. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the interesting thing is, see, that any two given signs are quite dissimilar. Any adjacent signs are quite dissimilar.
Yeah.
So it helps.
Yeah, I think she's Leo Virgo.
Okay.
Cusp.
Okay. Good. So you try to then see which is she more in expression. How does she manifest? More as the center of attention, more as the life of the party, more as the leader, more as I am who I am. That's Leo.
Mm.
If it's Virgo, it's going to be more sort of sultry and the sort of clever princess, more lascivious of nature, more sort of reveling in her beauty but not holding it out. I mean, sort of see more secretly or more seductively.
Uh-huh.
I mean, does this give you some indications?
Yeah. I mean, she's sort of interesting because I can really see both.
But that often happens. And if it's completely split and you can't decide, then it sort of doesn't matter. You can pick either one.
Okay. Can you ever put two signifiers down?
No.
No.
No, because that, well, don't get me wrong, we will study multiple signifiers, the use of more than one signifier together, but we don't want to give a person a double signifier because what we're stating then is that they are like multiple personality disorders.
Okay.
You know, and yeah. They may be, but we don't want to start out with that premise.
Yeah, and she isn't.
Okay. So just pick one or the other. Now, if you're real dead wrong, you'll get all your base cards reversed.
Oh, okay.
And so...
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so it isn't such a big issue, really.
Okay.
So, and just remember, and I'm gonna have you all work with me on, first of all, Magnus's reading, which is sort of nice since I don't fully understand it. We'll sort of all work on it. And you all will probably be as right as I am. But just to go back through the process of doing a reading, just so it's instilled in your mind, and do look at the video because it's helpful. Now, if the person is there, of course, it's different than if they're not there. If they're not there, then you need to know the signifier. You want to write it down in your Book of Shadows. On a page that's for that reading, date it, time it, and write down the 1 through 8 cover and cross so that you can record the reading. And then you start the process of looking for their signifier by going through the cards onto your plate, turning them over one at a time until you find that person and their signifier. And once you found it, you light your wisdom and then your protection candles with that loop over and back process off your utility candle or sun candle. And then you can smudge the area with the sweet grass if you want to. And then you put this, well, of course, before you put the signifier in the reading, you want to make sure it's them. So you look at the signifier on your plate in upright mode, not reverse. Until you see some quality of them, or you see it sort of looks or reminds you of them, and then it is tied to them for the reading, and then you put it in the place where it wants to go in the reading. Since they are not there, then you shuffle for them 3 or more times until so you have an adequate mix. And it's quite fine to shuffle sometimes face up. I do that, as well as face down. Keeps your deck from getting curled.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then with your left hand, you divide into 3 stacks. Now, a lot of people don't divide into 3 stacks, so you make sure you divide into 3 stacks. That's part of the process. And then you feel over them for which is the most energy or the hottest, and that's the first one you pick up, and then the middle one is middle, and the least one is the bottom. And then you're ready to lay out the reading. Now, if they are there, then you, of course, would hand the deck to them after you put the signifier on the table and light the candles. Or you lit the candles and put the signifier tied to them, you still do that, down on the reading table, and then you hand the deck to them, have them shuffle 3 or more times. And then with their left hand divided in 3 stacks, and with your right hand, you pick up the... And then you lay the reading. And, of course, with the Celtic cross, we lay the 4 positions around the signifier first in any order they come out. Base cards always first. And then write it down so you remember the order, and then go up the vertical tree from the bottom. Do those base cards, then go back and second card in exactly the same order, all 8 of those positions, and then your cover, and then your cross. That's the reading. You've laid it out. And then when you start to interpret, you can start pretty much wherever you want to. So, does everybody have Magnus's reading in front of them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Magnus, do you?
That was the first thing I got ready before the class.
I'm saying?
I have it ready.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. So, I have a question I want to ask to help clarify this. Have you had some issues with women's power in your life?
Women power in my life?
With women's power.
I don't think I have. The only woman power I had in my life was my mom, you know, whatever, growing up. That if I want to kill somebody and she says no, done, I would just, you know, put down the weapon.
If you wanted to kill somebody?
That's an example. Say I was in the mood of a fight.
Okay.
To kill somebody. And my mom comes up from, you know, the corner of the building or whatever and say, don't fight. I will just stop.
Okay. So she was a very strong influence in your life?
Sir.
Okay. Have you ever been married?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And are you currently?
No.
What happened?
I'm not married or my
past
marriage? Well, just nothing. Part of it might be finding the right person.
Okay, cool.
Life is miserable, living and fighting.
Okay, so you were in a marriage, but it didn't work out.
I didn't work out.
Okay, good. Well, that helps clarify, because I couldn't, looking at this reading, I don't know if the rest of you all had a problem with it or not, but I wasn't sure. That's what it looked like to me, but I've never asked you anything about your life, so I had no reference. So what would you all, looking at Magnus's and what he just said, helps a lot for me anyway, what would you say he's walking away from? What is he leaving behind? Dan, what would you say?
Relationship.
What cards are you looking at there?
The cover?
No. It's behind.
Behind, I'm sorry.
What you're walking away from is what's behind you.
Some sort of overall
good
philosophy.
Good. Okay, you're going. Good. You got the right idea.
And which is affected or been affected by a balance
within yourself.
Yes.
Right. Or how it affects. In other words, having an overall world view of things, and how that creates integration within yourself.
I can see that.
Okay. So Magnus, what this says to me is that innately you have always had a big view of things, and that big view has created integrity within yourself or balance within yourself. Does that make sense?
All right.
Now then, of course, the question comes up, well, why would you be walking away from that? Well, the only part of why you're walking away from that is in regard to relationship. In other words, when it comes to your view of relationship or your experience of relationship, that's, in other words, when you try and isolate how a relationship is in your life, that's when you lose the big picture. That's what I'm talking about. Can you understand that? Magnus? Oop, did I lose you?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Did we lose you?
No, the phone was ringing, so I had to, another line was ringing, I had to mute it so that it doesn't.
Oh, I see, okay. Well, what I was saying is, like, when you try to look at how relationships have worked for you or not worked for you in your life, you lose the big picture. You lose your sense of overall wisdom and integrity. Do you understand that?
I'm trying to relate to that. I understand what you're saying.
Well, I mean, if we look at the cover and cross, which is what Dan was talking about, Helen, what would you say we could learn from the cover and the cross?
Well, the base card.
Well, what do you notice right away? The cover is reversed, right?
Right, that it's reversed. So, I mean, my sense of it is his heart being pure, sort of broken heart.
Yeah, but you have to back up a little bit before you can even say that. If the cover card is reversed, it is the summation of what?
Oh, if the cover card is reversed, then I forget. Let's see. That's the general situation.
No, it's the summation of the negative.
Okay.
Just that simple.
Okay.
Law of the reading.
What are the cards, Ellen?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you don't have this?
No.
Oh, dear. I thought we didn't drop it by to you. Stephanie sent a package to the office. It had all these readings in it.
Where did she leave it?
In the front office.
I never got it.
Okay. It's over there. Okay, so that you know the cards, Jennifer, the cover is the Three of Swords reverse. And whenever the cover card is reverse, it's the summation of the negative principles in the reading. And the cross then becomes the summation of the positive, which is Three of Wands. So then what you were saying, Helen, is that the summation of the negative of the reading has to do with issues of emotional loss or brokenheartedness, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or not doing well in relationships.
Right. And three is foundation or paths, so it feels to me like it started young.
It well may have, but also the three in that regard gives you more of a clue. Well, of course, you're right. It is a foundation or a path, but it also, remember that particular three in the Three of Swords has to do with the issues of how we balance our beliefs, air, our will, fire, and our emotions, water.
Okay.
So, if our experiences tell us that we don't say get what we want, or we are denied in what we want, our desires, that often comes up as what we call heartbreak.
Right.
And so that's a summation of the negative. But then we look at the Three of Wands, and Jennifer, what would you say that would tell us in terms of the summation of the positive?
There's lots of choices.
Right. It's the choices of one's path that one is making in their life. So it's living on that choice, living on that path, understanding that path, using that as one's guiding principle. So that to me, if you have what's behind is the World card, a big view of the world, second card of the Lovers, meaning personal integration, then that's fairly consistent with the Three of Wands. And that's important that Magnus hold on to that and use that throughout his life, not give that up. He doesn't want to walk away from that. Even though his experiences may have told him that relationships for him don't work too well. And of course, Magnus told us that his summation of it is he hasn't found the right person. And I would agree, but then we want to ask, well, what might be holding him from finding that person? So that's what we want to find out. Well, there's two. I mean, we could either consider the foundation or the ahead or the above in terms of, well, what might block him from that? It's certainly not the above, although he may not be aware of the factors of the above. The above is Emperor, second card, Queen of Wands. And that says that traditions within the system that he knows or lives in are favorable and come through in terms of men that have knowledge and enlightenment and so forth. So it's not a question that he's in the wrong system. Oops, sorry, he shouldn't have come to America, or he's just in the wrong period of time, just can't happen for him. Nope, those things are in his favor. And then we look at the below. So Randy, if below him is Seven of Cups, everybody but Randy, star six. Because somebody's putting stuff here. Okay, if Seven of Cups is below him, or the foundation, second card by the Page of Cups, what would you think that might indicate in terms of the foundation of the reading? Do you have your sheet there? Yeah, so you see what the Seven of Cups is. It's all those sort of, all the treasures in life.
Well,
see, like the guy's looking at all these goodies?
Yeah.
Right.
I see.
So how would that affect his foundation in terms of the Page of Cups?
Well, it would say that basically he started out with having everything.
Okay, good. Good for you. So, in other words, he had a lot of good things in his life.
Yes.
Okay, and he still does. Okay? Because it's the foundation. We don't know exactly when in time this was. Okay, but if it's the foundation of the reading, it's probably now too. And that it has given him a sort of fresh emotional outlook.
That's what I would read.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's very much an advantage. So far, we've not found any factor that limits him from finding the kind of person that would be, you know, appropriate for him. So, but when we look at the ahead, which is his view of the outcome, then what do we see? Helen, what does that tell you? And you may be on star six, I don't know.
Yeah, I was on star six.
So if he's got the Queen of Disc reverse, Ten
right.
of Swords, and that's his view of the future, what does that say?
It's not very optimistic.
No, it's not. No.
No.
You know, I have a question when I look at this. The fact that it's reversed, if it was right side, would that indicate that this clean of discs embodies what Magnus might be looking for, but the fact that it's reversed, he doesn't think he'll get it? Can you spin it that way?
It could.
Okay.
I think that's actually very close, because either way, whether it's upright or reversed, you know, if it's reversed, it's saying that he doesn't think he's going to get it. But because it's a queen of discs, it says that he sees her as having it all. It's sort of that disc thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, a woman that has a lot of ability in manifesting really good abilities in the world and so forth. And, of course, don't forget that Earth is nourishment, too.
Right.
Very nourishing, very sustaining, a lot of patience.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful setting.
It is.
Quite lush.
Right. And yet, but because it's reversed, and then because it's second carried by the Ten of Swords, what does that say?
That there's not very much trust there.
In regards to power.
Yes.
Issues of power.
Right.
So does that remind you of what he told us about his mom?
Could, definitely.
Well, all he told us is that if he wanted to do something such as fight somebody and she came out and said, don't do that, he didn't do it.
Right.
Alan, that Ten of Swords, also meaning hidden enemies, could that mean that there are things that he thinks that are beyond his comprehension that are working against him?
Well, it could, except bear in mind that hidden enemies has to be a reverse reading. In other words, if we want to call it hidden enemies, we can only do that if that is a base card reverse.
It's on in the notes. It has that under upright.
Not
both.
Yeah, it's in both.
Yeah. Okay, if it's in both, then okay. Yeah, okay, I'll allow it. Then in that case, yes. It could represent hidden factors of power. You know, but it doesn't matter really, because the fact that it talks about a lot of power and force is all we need to know.
Right. And it's sort of fascinating that it's about issues of aggression, and that's the example Magnus gave around his mom.
That is right. But again, it doesn't have to be aggression, because that would be a reverse issue.
No.
Oh, that's also under positive issues of aggression.
Issues of aggression.
Right.
Magnus, you want to say something?
Yes. Let me correct that. It's not basically. All I was trying to say is that I was raised in a way that whatever that she says goes, even when I don't like it. Even
right.
In my marriage, when she said go ahead, I went ahead and, but within, and you know, got wedded. But within me, I know I don't like the girl really well. Because in a relationship, during friendship, I began to see sense things. I don't want to exist in a marriage in my life. You know, those little things people ignore sometimes envelop it with I love you and all that. I saw those things, you know, but I believe she couldn't see them, so she said, I grant you my blessing. She seems to be a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't question it, you know, I went ahead.
Right, got it. But wouldn't you say that she tended to call the shots in your life?
Yes, in a way. Yes, practically.
Right. And all we're saying is that therefore it has given you sort of an idea that you can't find someone just for you.
not necessarily, I'm not a saint either. It's just that there are certain things you expect in a relationship, and some of those things are the benchmark in my heart that there must be in a relationship, else it shouldn't exist.
I agree.
Practically.
I totally agree with you.
Not that I'm looking for somebody born in heaven.
Right. No, but you want certain things that need to be there for a relationship to even exist.
Exactly.
I agree. And all I'm saying is that what this says is that your view of things is that that's not going to happen. But the evidence otherwise is that it can. And so that all you have to change is your view.
Alan, I have another question.
Okay.
I don't know that this is true of Magnus. It's just when I look at the Ten of Swords, what kind of comes is, you know, somebody takes a stand on something and they throw the gauntlet, but like with Ten Swords there, it feels like having to take a very, very strong position or stand.
I agree.
Okay. So would that mean that the belief is very strong?
Well, it means that his experiences in life have convinced him. Yes, I would say that it means that his belief that is the way it is strong.
Okay.
Because I suspect, from everything else in this reading, that Magnus is a very strong manifest to himself.
Yeah.
And I think that if he begins to see that he can have whatever he wants, it will come about.
Well, it will come about, but then I might use my magical power wrongly.
I don't think so. That's your view of things. I that's your own prejudice, but I don't believe you will.
Well, I what I'm trying to say is that one, I'm of Cancer.
Okay.
I love a quiet environment.
I
will not, you know, for the sake of you know, fulfilling that aspect of my life, tend to see somebody who is, I don't know.
I know, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. In other words, you would not sacrifice the way you see the world just to have a relationship.
Kind of.
You would not sacrifice your love of peace and...
There are some basic things in life that I think I need for spiritual growth.
Yes, I agree.
One of them is peace and harmony.
I understand.
I give a lot. Sometimes people take me for granted. Just I always look at it from the point of view. If Jesus Christ, a lawyer, wanted to ask me a question and say, good master, he said, nay, no man is good except my Father in heaven. Even if he did not, you know, he didn't arrogate righteousness to himself, and he is recognized by people as an authority. Why would I think that everybody would be perfect? Being a perfectionist by nature doesn't mean you don't do things wrong. But there is a level of things you can, you know, take. If it goes beyond that, maybe you start being crazy. The whole, you know, community will be looking at you like it's insane.
Right.
So when it gets to such things, you know that you cannot deal with else, it will go, you know, those things, I don't know how to say without even confusing myself.
Okay, well, I'm just sort of showing what I see in the reading. So we're just sort of trying to piece it out as we go. So hang with us a little bit. See if it tells you anything. If we look at the far past, we've got a hangman, seven of swords, and I think you've already spoken of that. That what is important to you is having your experiences and learning from them and creating a lot of your energy for yourself in that way. And I think that's really good, and I think that's the way you have done it. You've not been easily swayed by a lot of other people and their ways. I think you have sort of built your own sense of understanding as you've gone along. But then the environment, the near past, talks about the Five of Cups reverse, Page of Wands, and so there is some sense of loss there. And it has to do, again, with some early understanding. I didn't create the cards, I just laid them out and looking at them. You know, so I don't, that certainly seems to relate to that Three of Swords reverse as the cover. And I suspect that it is that sort of area of sense of loss in you that projects outward and to some extent colors what you see and the way that you have it. Not necessarily greatly, but in some way. Don't get me wrong, I think this is a reading of a very powerful and good person. Because look at the cards going up from there. The near future is Two of Cups, upright, Page of Swords. That certainly says, well, your relationships, whatever they be, will blossom. And again, what's so interesting about this reading, there's so many pages. So it will, again, give you sort of a fresh sense of desire. And then even the outcome, look at that, Queen of Swords, Queen of Cups. So, well, if that's not having to do with women, I don't know what is. It doesn't necessarily say you're going to fall in love and marry somebody. But it does say to me, or and I would like to hear someone who left you in class what you think it says, but it says to me that certainly women, since that's a Queen of Swords, women's power and ability, particularly how it's expressed through their emotions, has some importance for you in your future. I don't know quite what it is, but that's what it says. Anybody have any comments on that, Dan? Anything that occurs to you?
Just that possibly a woman of some sort of power, but yet is very caring.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about.
Alan, I have a question.
Sure.
Since it was also the Lover card, which can also be about your own internal balance of female, male, feminine, masculine.
Right.
Could this outcome also be referring in some way to that as well, not just the, you know,
an internal
woman, but
coming more back into a place of integration for himself?
Yes, for himself.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Good insight. Yeah, maybe he'll just feel, you know, more integrated with how women are in the world, won't even need a specific individual relationship. I just find it curious that in the near future it's got a Two of Cups.
Uh-huh.
Upright, you know, Page of Swords. So maybe in this case we'll have to wait and see. So Magnus, what are your ideas as to what all this means? Were we way off base?
It's okay. You are not off base. You are not off base. But one thing I know, I'm like a patient dog. I know if it revolves about, because women have always had a stronghold in my life, actually. I remember when I was a little kid. The other girls, you know, always like to stay around me, and always like, I've been in trouble several times in my life because of women, and I love them so much. Sometimes I say to people, I love what God gave us.
Okay. Well, that certainly clarifies a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I just, the only thing I can think to tell you is don't be afraid of that. Even if it's been a problem in the past, it does not mean it's going to be a problem in the future.
I don't think it's going to be. It's basically like I said, you know, if you are writing a program in computer, you got to find a tolerance level. It's not going to be forever stable. No technology has been able to achieve that, even when people talk about that. It's just trying to find that tolerance level. And so I don't care if you do it, and then, I mean, I have this thing in me that my best friends in life are always women. We always click.
Okay.
But when you talk of something about marriage, because I don't believe in I do today, the next day I do not, then I'll be boasting of 7 divorces. So I kind of want to get the balance, the tolerance level. That's what it's been, not because of now.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Living the rest of my life without women, I will go crazy.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And this reading makes a lot of sense to me. And it says you will get just what you sought after. You will get what that balance level is. And what you do with it is up to you.
I will do good with it.
Well, you will. But I mean, whether you marry, don't marry, whether you have relationships, don't, but it's how much you appreciate the gift.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. So does that help you all to see how you sort of process through even a difficult reading?
Yeah, it is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, I was struck also because Magnus and I both had the Two of Cups in the same position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, different readings and interpretations, but
sure.
Same spot.
Yes,
the sword card underneath.
Right on. And look at Randy's reading with Three of Swords right up there in the far future. Fortunately upright. He's not destroying his heart. So...
Yeah.
One of the things, like with Randy's reading... Well, look what his behind is, 4-1 star. So, Randy, why would you find yourself moving away from harmonious ideas that feed your spiritual life?
I'm going to my reading here. Hold on. In the behind you're looking at?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I be leaving? What was your question again?
Well, 4 of Wands
mm-hmm.
upright is harmonious ideas.
Spiritual balance.
Harmonious ideas. And so if you're leaving behind harmonious ideas, harmonious understandings that create your spiritual strength, star.
Yeah, I...
What would you be doing that for?
Good question.
Well, I mean,
I suppose to create some sort of conflict.
Okay. Okay. Good.
You know, some inner turmoil.
To find out something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, isn't that reflected right down there in the below? Five of Discs reversed. That is a reverse, by the way.
Yeah, I read it as reversed. Yeah, this is not being okay, you know?
Having issues about how we support ourselves. Having issues about how we, you know, having money, having possessions, having things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely have issues around that.
Okay. And it tells us that it comes through the Seven of Cups, i.e. all the distractions of life, all the good things that we see.
It comes, so my, sort of my...
Well, that's where the issues manifest for you.
Okay. Okay, the issue of around material abundance and sort of an unwillingness to sacrifice what I see in the reverse five of disc, and then it's then with the Seven of Cups, you say it's...
Well, in other words, you would talk to me about a person that might feel guilty about having pleasures in life.
Oh, yeah.
It might be the ascetic.
Mm-hmm.
The person that thinks they're supposed to, the spiritual path, the way of enlightenment is to be the ascetic, is to give up attachment to things.
Yeah. So I'm giving up the aesthetic and...
No, you're not giving up the aesthetic. You're hanging on to the aesthetic.
Okay.
And that's the problem.
There's that conflict.
Right. The conflict is that, see, in a lot of spiritual systems, what they tell us is you are supposed to give up pleasures. That's the way to the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this says to me is that is what is causing you internal discomfort and actually taking you away from your spiritual life.
The material stuff.
No.
No, the...
Issues. No, the material stuff doesn't affect you at all. It's not even in the reading so far. Well, it is a little bit, because if you look at the above, it's Hangman Emperor. So it says that you, one of your assets is your strength, or a feature or a factor that is affecting the overall situation in your favor, but you may not know about it, is that you gain your experiences in the world, in man's world. Right in the system.
I see, yep, with the emperor there.
Right. It's not talking about the ascetic, you see. The ascetic would be sitting on the mountaintop.
Yeah.
But it says, nah, you learn well through being right in the culture. But something, we don't yet know what, has put a little bit of a kink in your internal system about whether it's okay to have things and be pleasure-seeking and all that or not.
Yeah.
Okay. And given that, your sense of the outcome is Ace of Cups reverse Queen of Discs. It says
Let's see.
You're not going to be emotionally fulfilled. And whether that Queen of Discs refers to actual relationship or the whole sense of the world and how it nourishes us, which would be my hunch, that it's just sort of not going to happen for you. So that means you've sort of decided inside yourself that I can't have that. Whereas there's nothing else so far that says you can't. But if we look at your far past, then we begin to get some understanding as to where that may have come from, because you have an Eight of Cups reverse.
Yeah.
Page of Discs. So, you see.
Because I didn't have emotional fulfillment.
Or an understanding of how emotions worked.
Okay.
In your childhood. And how that affected a child's view of materiality.
Wow.
So that set the stage. And then in present time, it seems to affect the environment or your near past by sort of, well, even though you've got the Hangman Emperor up there as an asset, this sort of disconnects you from the next higher level up, the world of natural laws and so forth, grandmother's world, because of the manifold beliefs and views you've had, you've taken in.
Yes.
So it's sort of like what I'm saying is it's
restricted
you to the phenomenal world to try and figure this all out. But it probably is not going to be figurable out in the phenomenal world.
Yes.
And therefore, you have to be able to access grandmother's world to get help, which you're learning to do. Don't get me wrong. And the proof of that is go up to the next level, to the near future or your hopes, and you've got a Six of Swords, Two of Cups, which says, okay, so you are going to be using your past abilities in terms of how you relate, how you see relationships.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then going further up, Three of Swords, Six of Cups, it says you'll resolve those issues in terms of going back to your innate child internal wisdom.
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
So then, of course, then we look at the cover and the cross. Well, the Nine of Wands reverse, what would stop you would be not to stand in your own wisdom and knowledge.
Yes. Not knowing my position.
Right. Right. And what will further you is to choose wisely.
Yeah. It's choice.
Just make positive choices based on your knowledge. So you cannot trust the social scripting side of your life.
Yeah.
You must base it on your own innate wisdom, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that pretty much simplifies it down to what it says.
So anybody have any questions or comments on Randy's reading?
I have a comment.
Sure.
Randy?
Yeah.
Did you ever learn to ride a bicycle?
Yeah.
Did you ever, at any point, take your hands off the handlebars and ride?
You know, I don't remember.
If you ever rode with no hands, that was the very moment that you were in touch with all the magic in your life because you were free.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet that the first thing that happened was some authority figure in your life told you, don't do that. Put your hands back on the handlebars. You're going to crash.
Yeah, that probably was my father.
And if you if you can capture that moment and know that you can ride with no hands, then you can resolve a lot of issues.
Good,
that's good advice.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Anybody else? So I hope that this makes it easier for you guys in terms of how you can build your own interpretation.
Alan?
Yeah?
I'm sorry, but I have to leave now because I've got to get to...
That's all right.
...an auto parts store before they close at 5 so I can get an engine block heater so my car will start in the morning.
No, go ahead. We're almost done anyway.
I couldn't get it started today.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, goodbye, everybody, and thank you.
Thanks, Randy.
Bye, Randy.
Bye.
So, this is how you do it. One little piece at a time. Asking. That's why it's so much easier if you have another person there that you're doing the reading for, because you can ask them questions. And sometimes it's sort of like slogging through the pits, and sometimes it comes easy. But eventually, if you keep at it, light comes. It begins to all somehow integrate.
Alan, I think the question that comes up for me as a beginner with this is not being sure yet how much I'm projecting my stuff into the cards. You know, when I window them and when I see what I see, I still don't have a sense about if...
I hear you.
Yeah, you know, having that sort of foundation that what I'm seeing is through the signifier cards, is the other person, and not my own projection, especially if I know them.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't?
No. It doesn't matter. All you're doing is psychically tying the card to the person.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you do it. I mean, if you want to, I don't necessarily suggest this because it's a little too strong, but you could take that card and hold it in your right hand and imprint it just like we do when we're doing a bank clearing.
Uh-huh.
Just by thinking of all the things you know. But you can do that without holding it in your hand. There is a card on your plate. You start thinking about the things you know about that person. Okay?
Okay.
How do they look? How do they behave? How do they speak? How do they talk? Until you have a sense that you have tied that card to them. That's all you're after.
Okay.
And then you put it in the reading. You can't do it wrong.
It's okay.
There's a lot less considerations than you all think there is in this. If you follow the procedure as given, you will do it right. Marilyn did a really good reading on her husband. And the only thing that she did wrong was she forgot a few procedures. I mean, I don't mean in laying the card, she did that right. But when she went to interpret it, well, she had a full reverse as a cover and a king of swords as the cross. She forgot that rule that says if the cover card is reversed, that's a summation of the negative, and she started some summation based on her understandings of her husband talking about his issues of authority and power and over people and so forth, controlling, being a super controller and so forth. But that's not what the card said.
Yeah, and that's what I think I'm talking about. If you know someone and it's your own understanding of them.
Right, but if she had paid attention, because as soon as I showed her what she was doing, she knew exactly what was right.
Okay.
You know, and that wasn't an interpretation deal. That was forgetting the process. Do you see?
Yeah.
And that's why I drill it into you all. Do the process correctly and you won't make a mistake. Because if you see the full reverse and it's all you can think of to say is, well, the summation of the negative is this person's going to act spiritually foolishly, that's just fine. Because that's what he does. And positively, he is the King of Swords. He has appropriate power and can use it well and virtuously when he lets go of all his social upbringing. You know, but she was sort of angry at him, so she wasn't seeing that. And I said, well, now wait a minute. If you're so angry at him and if he's such a loser, what are you married to him for? I mean, it's got to be, or was it a huge mistake? Or is there something here that's of value? How about finding out what that is? Mm-hmm. You know, well, she's going through a major revolution in her life because she just discovered that she'd been molested as a child through the course, through all we've been working on, and she's revealing now all these tendencies in her life that are based on, you know, a bunch of junk in her childhood. Not of her choosing. Well, of course, then, in that state of mind, she's going to be a bit reactive towards her husband, don't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah. But you know what? What's so cool about this, you guys and how you're doing these courses, in 2 weeks' time, she went from thinking that resentment and anger was what needed to motivate her, and so she chose to go back to school and study psychology and become a psychologist. And now she's realizing she had this powerful journey in which she went out journeying and this animal totem met her and showed her this picture where she was standing around in the middle of all these people that had done bad things to her in her life. And she saw that she was tied to each of the persons with a rope, and then each of that rope around each person went around their hands. She said, oh my God. And the animal totem said, well, you got to set them free because you got them tied up. And of course, you're tied up in the middle. And then she had to go and tell each of them in her journey how much she appreciated the gift that they'd given her before she could untie him and set him free.
Yeah.
But she did it. And now all of a sudden, instead of feeling resentment towards all the, and anger towards all these people that have done her wrongs in her life, she feels appreciative because they have showed her path.
It's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, you all will change greatly. And then it's a question of what you do with it. So that's all I have. Anybody have any questions or comments or anything else?
None from me.
Jennifer? Sweetie, didn't we leave Jennifer's package down at her in the front office? Oh, it's in the back office. Jennifer?
Yeah.
It's in the back office, in a vanilla envelope.
Okay.
Or manila, whatever you call that. In brown, right.
I like vanilla better.
Yeah, me too. Okay, you guys, thanks so much. I think you're all going to do really, really well with this stuff.